coming for the weekend on Saturday. Andrew Ryan, comedian, is on the line. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, good morning. It's good to be with you. Yeah, not so bad, thanks.
You're sitting in a coffee shop, so things must be going okay for you because the rest of the world can't afford a cup of coffee.
Well, I found a few quid down the back of the sofa.
Did
so
you?
I thought I'd treat myself. No, yeah, I'm in a coffee shop in Belfast at the moment.
Are you one of these now? Yeah. Would you sit there now for 3 hours mulling over the coffee just to, you know, to put the laptop up and all? You know, these people, they charge their phone, they charge their laptop, and they waste all the electricity in the cafe and they spend 2 quid.
Are you watching me somewhere on a camera?
I knew it. I know your type.
Yeah. Do you know, I am contributing to the local economy. That's how I look at it. I'm contributing to the local economy. I'm sitting here doing a bit of work. I mean, at this current cost of living crisis, I mean, if I can get my laptop, my iPad, everything charged for a £3 coffee or whatever, then I am happy to do that.
It's like the way people join a gym just to use the showers and all that. They've no intention of working out. They just don't want to have to heat the water with the immersion at home.
I know, yeah, I know. But no, I actually have a local coffee shop because I live in Belfast, you see. So I have a local coffee shop that I go down to all the time. And it's because when you work from home, it's pretty handy to basically get a change of scenery because sometimes you're sitting at home. So I come down probably about 3 days a week. I actually got to a point where I actually said to one of the staff, I said, am I coming in a bit too much? You know, like that it's borderline needy. He was saying, no, keep coming in. But it's got to the point now where when I walk in, they don't even ask me what I'm ordering.
If they start pulling down the shutters as they see you walking down the street, it's time find a new place.
The mad thing about this place is that I've come in and they've actually said, because they know what I do, my job is a stand-up comedian, they've actually said, will you put a show on for us? So I was like, I had a look at the room, I said, yeah, I'll put a show on. That's about 6,000 coffees, though.
It's gas the way you describe yourself as working from home. How does a comedian work from home? I mean, that's not a busy show.
Oh, the amount of stuff you actually have to do is unbelievable. Honest to God, think about this, right? Nowadays, social media, I've just done an editing course. I cut clips, edit clips, launch them on social media. Then I have to do writing, prep, PR, planning, travel. Then you have to look for work. Then you have to plan your schedule, plan your diary. So you're going to be like, oh, I don't want to do Dublin on a Friday and West Kerry on a Saturday because that's a nightmare journey. Then you have to plan your availability, do your accounts, do your tax returns. They have to stress, constant anxiety, fear of living alone, the whole loss, everything is just a complete mess. And also the fear that, you know, when am I going to get found out? When's this game up?
What was the original career?
My original career, oh God, I left school, I'll be honest, I left school with 180 points in my Leaving Cert. And when I left school, I thought I'd repeat the Leaving Cert. And one of my teachers told me that I was too far gone.
Ah, no.
He was saying to me, there's no point in repeating it. He said, like, you need to go back into fourth year. So I was a bit kind of disheartened with that. And then I actually did a lot of like office jobs and stuff. And I worked in a bank for a while. I was a private investigator, which was the worst job in the whole world.
You were what?
A private investigator.
And what did that entail?
Basically, do you know your car insurance? Do you think your car insurance is too high? Well, it's high because people put in fraudulent claims, don't they?
Okay, so what kind of things did you spot then?
I would basically find out if someone's claim was a genuine claim.
So they're pretending that they have a bad back, but they're out on the golf course type thing.
Oh, I had a guy who was claiming for 80,000 and I caught him on the top of his roof of his house putting on the tiles. So basically what I'm trying to say to you is, not every case was fraudulent case, you know, but you were trying to kind of make sure that, you know, what they're saying is genuine to make sure that it is fair and right rather than people saying they can't walk, but yet you catch them playing five-a-side football.
So if you have a fraudulent claim in at the moment, beware. You could be getting stalked by somebody like Andrew. So you're a professional stalker, basically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no. Well, bear in mind, I did that job 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So well before the social media and the cameras and all that kind of stuff. So it was very sort of ad hoc and you just kind of just checking things out, you know. But it wasn't a great job, to be honest. It was quite boring. People think it's quite exciting and stuff. It isn't. All you're doing is just making sure that people's claims are legit. And also, I didn't really enjoy the environment of the job as well, because you kind of like feel like you're being a bit...
You're ratting on people.
Yeah, on the grass.
So how did you end up going from Cork to living in Belfast?
Well, via 16 years in London.
Yeah, because I was thinking the last time you were in studio with us, you were in London.
Yeah, listen, so basically what happened was in 2018, I kind of took a year out because my mom was quite ill. So I moved home to kind of be with my mom. And then when life reopened again, my mom unfortunately passed away. But when life when I went back to work, I don't know if you heard, but at the start of 2020, I don't know if you know about this now or did it affect anyone near you, but there was this thing called a pandemic.
Oh, no.
No, it didn't happen in Dublin. But anyway, that struck me out for a couple of years. I was personally very affected. I don't know about anyone else, but I had 2 years out. So I was in London at the time, and I decided to, I basically was trying to buy a house. Long story short, but I did try to buy a house in Cork, but because I earned sterling as well as euro as income, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get a mortgage in the south of Ireland because of that. So I ended up thinking, where is the best place on the island of Ireland that I can buy a house that will accept sterling? And it's Belfast. So I basically bought a house in Belfast during the pandemic.
And I used
the pandemic as my hobby to learn DIY and do the house up. And then when life reopened, I moved back to London for a couple of months. And I went, do you know what? I actually prefer living in Belfast. Now, I live in East Belfast, which would be classed as like a unionist sort of British area. Now, the reason why I lived there is because I didn't know where I was living. I just saw a house and just went, ah, sure, I'll go with that. It's a bit of crack. And I live there now. And I'm, you know, if you know me on a personal level, you'll know that I am a big fan of tension within the community and a lack of functioning government. So I thought, wouldn't it be? And people always say to me, like, why are you living in East Belfast? And I think it's because I didn't do the correct research. I've been here for 2 years and I absolutely love it.
Is it cheap then to buy a house there?
You can buy a house here for the price of a Twix.
The price of a Twix? Okay.
I am telling you now, I don't mind oversharing on this interview, because if you come to the comedy show, I overshare anyway. But I bought a 3-bed, 2-bathroom, overlooking the beach, south-facing garden with a driveway that can fit 3 cars for 170. I wouldn't even get a car parking space in Dublin for that.
You wouldn't. I was laughing at your Instagram, Angie. You'd stuff up about the day you went and stayed in an Airbnb. What was the experience like?
I actually have to go to therapy, I think, because of that. Basically, what happened was I booked a bedroom that had 2 single beds and a wardrobe and access to shared bathroom. And I thought, oh, this will be grand for a couple of nights in London. Turn up at the property and I'm in the sitting room.
The sitting room.
The bed is a blow-up bed. The headboard is the radiator that wasn't turned on. There's a TV, cabinets, rugs, coffee table, sofa, pictures of kids I don't even know. And I'm sitting in this sitting room and the woman looked at me and I looked at her and she was like, oh, is everything okay? And I knew that she was chancing her arm at me.
Yeah,
and the Irish in me just looked at her and went, oh yeah, sure, this is great.
This is great.
I'm absolutely delighted.
I knew you'd say, oh, no problem, yeah, this is great.
that's like the Irish low self-esteem in me. Like, I just don't want to speak up, you know. I'm delighted to be, but I'm delighted just to have got it, even though I'm paying £100 a night for a sitting room.
And were they coming in, like, watching the telly and coming in and going?
No, they never came in, thankfully. But then again, you know what, I stayed for 2 nights, and as mad as it was, the lady was lovely. And I can understand, look, she actually rented the room out upstairs to somebody else. And I think she was just trying to make a few quid. And I understand things are difficult for people, so I totally let it slide and put it down to an experience, and also an experience that I can tell on stage as well.
Yeah, all these things are for your own good. In fact, she should have charged you more because you're getting material. Speaking of material,
exactly, yeah.
How's the clothes situation? Because the men's department in Dunn's has really irked you.
You really have done your research here,
haven't I?
I like my clothes in terms of, I like buying new clothes and stuff like that, but I've had to give up. I can see the appeal of online shopping now, because the men's stuff in clothes shops is too far away for us. Like, we walk in, we have to go to like the fourth floor to get the men's stuff. I was in Dunn's. I walked in, I had to go through the women's clothes, the women's lingerie, which is a bit awkward. I then had to go past the kids' stuff. I then had to go past household furniture, like egg cups. There was egg cups and fans that are valued more than men's clothing in terms of positioning in the shop.
The best thing about that, Andrew, is I always think, you know, the way the shops are huge, like Dunn's and whatever, and then you get to the men's section and there's 2 racks and that's it. That's all that's on offer for you.
And there's men who've made it to the rack store who are absolutely exhausted. And no wonder we're angry when we get there, because it's taken us too long to go. It's just like going around IKEA just to get somewhere. So I've given up. I went to Zara recently to go to the fourth floor. I said, I won't even go to a fourth floor in a hotel for a drink. It's too far. So I'm just furious about it. Like, people say that men don't shop as much as women. I get that. So what you do is put half of the men's stuff at the front and half the women's stuff. Get the men in and get us to change our mind about shopping rather than putting us at the back.
We will raise your complaint with the head of Dunn Stores.
My complaint will probably be dealt with in about 5 years, because men's complaints are probably at the back of the queue as well.
Andrew, you're going to be at the Galway Comedy Festival. What night are you doing?
I'm doing 2 nights. I'm doing the Friday and the Saturday, and I'm very excited about doing that. I'm also, my big show as well, down in Cork on Saturday the 5th of November down at the Everyman Theatre there. Tickets available. Let's get to the brass tacks of this, all right?
Yeah.
There are plenty of tickets available. There's so many tickets available at this moment in time that I'm actually texting people I haven't texted since 2018. that's where we are when it comes to putting bums on seats. That's the brass tacks of it. The last time I did it, I had a great night. It was packed out. I was so happy. It is cheaper to see me than have your gas and electric on. So please, if you know anyone in Cork that likes an angry man, come along. Look, Galway is a wonderful festival. Dundalk as well. I'm doing the Spirit Store the following week. I love Dundalk. My mum was from Dundalk, so this is the first time I've ever done my own show in Dundalk. But yet, Everyman Palace Theatre in Cork on the 5th. Cork, you know, we need bums and seats. That's the brass tacks of it.
I love the desperation, because a lot of times when acts come on, they might say, you know, oh, there don't think there's many tickets left, you know, they're kind of, you know, the desperation, you know, please buy a ticket.
Do you know when you see on Instagram people say low ticket warning? Well, mine is high ticket warning.
High ticket warning.
Now, listen, I'm not going to come on here and give you the spiel about like PR and all that, right? Andrew Ryan needs bums on seats.
Andrew Ryan needs to be able to buy his clothing online and to pay for his house in Belfast, so please come along.
There's plenty of jokes, it's a good show, and I'd love it if people could make the effort and tell your friends, text people, go on my website, Instagram, at Andrew Ryan Comedy.
Deadly Andrew, are you going to order another cup of coffee there, or are you going to wait it out for a while?
No, I'm just on my third bottle of vodka now, so everything's going well, you know.
Go on, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Andrew. It's Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.